Hey, it's Digital Sister, and I am back with you for episode 69. Yes, just one more to 70, and I think we'll be able to squeak a few more in before the year's end. Thank you for tuning in. First of all, let me start with Dog the Bounty Hunter, Dog in the Doghouse Part 2. Did you all see him on Larry King as he made the rounds of the I'm Not a Racist tour that all these guys have to do when they are caught saying something fairly offensive? I watched him on Larry King. He appeared on Larry King with his pastor, who happens to be a black man. And, you know, I'm sitting there watching, and I'm sitting there thinking, God, he looks really, you know, heartbroken and all that about what happened. And his pastor was there in great support and, you know, apparently let him have it for what he said. But I guess the thing that absolutely blew me away is when they talked about how his son, actually Tucker, was the one who recorded it and sold it to the National Enquirer. Well, when I heard that, you know, the first time a few weeks ago, I thought, well, it must be big money in order for someone to, you know, really sell their father down the river and ruin careers. I'm thinking it was like $50,000, $100,000, you know, some kind of big payment that the National Enquirer would pay for that kind of information. Well, I'm watching the show, and it turns out that his son Tucker sold that interview for $15,000. Yes, 15. I just couldn't believe it, because that is nothing. And apparently, I guess Tucker bought a big screen TV and a truck. But you know the IRS is going to be all over him, because, you know, it's been reported, so they're going to go after him for that. But I thought, my God, $15,000 to cause all of this heartache and animosity, destroy careers. I just couldn't believe it. So that's why I said in the previous podcast, there's got to be some real serious dysfunction in this family that the sons would do that to their dad. And I didn't know also that Dog was saying he has about 12 kids. And he was on the show with his eldest son, who apparently did the same thing, because he apparently was in jail and released from prison for robbery, something like that. And when he came out of jail, he had a lot of the tabloids coming after him to sell information about his dad. And I thought, my gosh, you know, he did it too. And I can't remember if it was a lot of money or if he backed out at the last moment, but it was just the fact that he was approached and was certainly considering it. And I think he may have even done something to hurt his father. But I thought, wow, what is going on in this family that, A, you've got a number of your kids coming out of jail for robbery, but B, that they almost have no compassion, no sense of guilt to do something like that. So I thought, that's really pretty terrible. And to make matters worse, the young lady they showed her name is Monique Shinnery, who was the African-American girlfriend of Tucker Chapman. And I'm thinking, before I heard the story, that she was going to be some street-looking girl, you know, some real rough stuff. But, you know, she looked like a school teacher. She's sitting there, and I'm thinking, okay, what's up with this? And to make matters worse, she apparently is going to, or has filed a lawsuit for defaming her character. So I'm sure we haven't really heard the end of the story, even though he's kind of made his I'm Not a Racist tour with all of the media outlets. But like I said before, I can't imagine what is going on in the family. I can't imagine what they're saying to each other. And I can't imagine how you are going to have to figure out how to heal this. So I don't think we've heard the end of this. I think we've just heard the end of the first sensational part. But I think there's going to be more to this story. And, you know, will A&E restore his show? I don't know. doesn't seem to have happened yet. But, you know, we'll just have to wait and see. And I guess I just have to say, for people in positions like that, you know, be careful of what you say and who you're saying it to. And you almost have to make sure you're talking to people almost in person, you know, to some degree. I mean, they may be wired or something, but it just speaks of the fact you have to be very careful when you're in a very public position and you're a celebrity. And not only do you have to worry about outsiders being jealous and doing things to harm you, but when you have to worry about people in your own family, that's pretty deep. But let me move on. I don't think we've heard the end of that story. Let me just say condolences to rapper Kanye West on the sudden and very tragic loss of his mom over the weekend, Dr. Donda West, after she apparently had some plastic surgery. And it's really sad that this happened, but what we're finding out is the plastic surgeon who, in fact, did this surgery. What is his name? His name is Dr. Jan. Yes, I think it's Jan or Jan Adams. I'm going to say Jan. African-American guy, Harvard educated, but apparently he's got a lot of dirt on him, you know. Malpractice suits, an ex-girlfriend slapped a restraining order on him. He's got several very large judgments against him. So, you know, he had a lot of things in his background that, you know, probably, of course, Dr. West probably had no idea of it when she went to him for surgery. So, you know, it's unfortunate that this happened. And I don't know if you remember a few years ago, the author of The First Wives Club, she had plastic surgery to remove some skin under her chin. I think it was a double chin. And she died as a result of having this plastic surgery. So it makes you wonder sometimes if the vanity is worth it. I mean, if you really have to have it because of a disfigurement, that's one thing. But if you're casually going to have plastic surgery just because you're unhappy with something or whatever, think very carefully, because, you know, surgery is risky, whatever you have, and maybe they have extra things that they have to do because you're doing plastic surgery. But, you know, if you can live with what imperfection you have, live with it. So the key word is live. So again, we're just very sorry that Dr. Donda West passed away. She seemed to be just a really great supporter of Kanye. She, you know, left her academic position as the head of a department at a university in Chicago to move out to California to set up and run Kanye's foundation. So I know this is a great, great loss to Kanye, and it's going to be real tough for him to, you know, bounce back, because that was his number one supporter and probably his best friend. So we're real sorry about that. And again, just as I just say, just be happy with what you have, unless it's something that's really impacting your health or really, really impacting your appearance. If you can live with it, leave it alone, okay? Now, what's going on with DeBrat? We talked about this the last podcast, and now apparently she's being sued by this person that she smacked a bottle of rum over her head. And so not only has this young lady is going to sue her, but she has contracted to hire Willie Gary, who is a very prominent attorney who has won some big cases, some big judgments for his clients. So I have a feeling, DeBrat, you better start saving up your money, or you better crank out a record real quick to make some money, because I think attorney Willie Gary is going to go all up in you for his client. And you better watch out. So again, as I talked about so many times in the podcast, you know, have some control over your behavior. When you're a public person, a celebrity, whether or not you've got a record out, people perceive you as having something. And when you act in such a way that gives them reason to sue you, they're going to sue you. So I have a feeling that we haven't heard the end of this story either. And while I'm talking about rappers, let me just mention about Snoop. I watched a video clip of him in this altercation in a London airport. It started out kind of friendly. He was, you know, taking pictures with people, dancing with kids, and then it kind of turned into a shoving match with the cops there. And so much so that, you know, he's banned from England, so he can't even get into the country. And I think what's worse is there seems to be growing gang violence in England, and so Snoop has taken it upon himself that he feels he wants to get into the country, you know, to help them with this issue. But again, I get back to this issue of when you're a celebrity, you really have to look at your behavior, because it's not that they even banned your record. They banned him from entering the country, which is pretty, pretty deep. So, yes, you may want to do some great things, but you still got to work on those behavior issues, because that is what, in fact, hinders people. And while I'm talking about that, let me move right on to T.I., who apparently has put up a video saying that he's going to be exonerated while he's on house arrest. He's out on like $2.2 million or $3 million bond, the whole nine yards. And, you know, it's just really sad, because he apparently was on his way to even greater success, winning some awards at the Hip Hop Awards, and he's appearing in the new movie American Gangster, which I've got to see. Haven't seen it yet. But, you know, again, this whole issue of thinking you're, I don't know what they're thinking, I can't even try to make that up, but the whole fact that you're a convicted felon going to buy weapons and silencers, you know, not good, not good at all. So now that's impacted his career, and he's going to have lengthy court situations, and, you know, you really don't know how this is going to end up for him. So again, as I talk about so many times, watch the behavior, stay away from the guns, you know, change the mindset, get away from the old life that you may have been involved in, but move away from that, because now your career is in jeopardy, and that's really sad, that's really unfortunate. But let's talk a little bit about Justin Timberlake. He's got something really cool going on, which I think is really, really very interesting. He has a five-year naming agreement where an annual golf tournament in Las Vegas will now be called the Justin Timberlake Shriners Hospitals for Children Open, raising money for the Shriners, but also with the golf tournament. So here is a guy who's, you know, moving away from strictly music to starting to move into other business categories. And, I mean, sit back, fellow rappers and fellow people in the industry. Watch it, what's going on. These are the kind of deals that you want to get. You want to spend all your time in court battling, you know, convictions and things like that. You want to be getting naming agreement contracts, or you want to be doing other things that propels you into more positive things. So I would say, hey, take notice, because if Justin Timberlake can hook up and get a golf tournament renamed, maybe some of the other people in the music industry can do the same. But you got to check yourself first and make yourself appealing so that people will want you to represent their event. So I say kudos to Justin. I think that's really, really very cool. Another thing I wanted to talk about, which I thought was very interesting, is that Jada Pinkett Smith, who we all know is the wife of actor Will Smith, is scheduled to begin production on directing her first film, which I think is very, very cool. And I think that's great, because I think in Hollywood, I think you have to, I mean, I'm not an actress, of course, but an observer, but I think too many African American actresses or just women of color actresses spend, I think, too much time waiting for scripts to come. And you know that for the most part, unless you're somebody that they've got on the top of their list, you may not even be considered. You may not even be sent some of these scripts. But I think they spend too much time waiting for scripts to come, where if you're like Jada and Will, take the bull by the horn and start creating your own, form a production company. Start getting scripts sent to your production company so you can get first right of refusal, things like that. You don't have to wait for someone to send you a script. You put yourself in the position to actively look for scripts or have scripts sent to you so that you can produce or direct them. So I think this is really wonderful, and I'm hoping that this won't be the first film that she directs. I'm hoping that she will create some projects that can pull in other actresses of color, be they African American, be they Latino, be they Asian, whatever. But I hope that she will, find some more projects and put some more projects together that will enable more actresses of color to have some good roles and some decent roles, and not always try to, play some of the dregs of society, or, always the mom strung out, whatever. But, we can see some interesting roles. So I think that's excellent for her. I mean, she's following in the steps of Queen Latifah, who was just a conglomerate herself, producing movies, starring in movies, being on Broadway. Like I said a few weeks ago, she's touring now to promote her CD. I mean, that's what we would like to see more of our young artists doing, just being a powerhouse in the entertainment industry. So kudos to Jada. I think that's going to be great. Looking forward to seeing her films. Reverend Al has got a march coming up Friday to focus on the issues that are going on in the country right now, and they're going to be marching 7 times around the Department of Justice, like Joshua did from the Bible. And I think it's important that it happens, because there seems to be something really sinister going on in the country right now, with a lot of copycat incidents with the news and, a lot of racial things going on. It just seems to be a very mean-spirited environment that we have going around in the country right now, and people are on edge, people are unhappy, people are like a little tinderbox just waiting for something to happen. So I think it's good that he's doing this and calling attention to situations that are happening. I mean, again, in New York, I think it was the Bronx, or maybe, no, I think it was Brooklyn, Bed-Stuy area, we have another unarmed African American man shot multiple times by the police. This happens way too often, and I think it's just important that someone's taking the lead to continue to bring this kind of situation into the forefront. And hopefully, we can wake up people in the Department of Justice to start looking at some of these hate crimes, not just hate crimes against African Americans, but hate crimes across the board. We've got to change what's going on in this country, or else we're going to implode from people just being angry and taking it out on each other, whereas other countries are going to be thriving and booming because of the shift with the New World Order, as I have talked about in my earlier podcasts. And one of those things that comes to mind is China, who, one day I hope to visit, and who will be hosting the Summer Olympic Games next year. But in any event, China has become quite the powerhouse. Remember in the 80s and even before that, when we used to watch the James Bond movies, and you would see the technology and you would learn about all these exotic places because, you watched the James Bond movie. But back then, remember, everything was made in Japan. everything was all about Japan. And that went up pretty much until the 80s, I think really until the 90s when things started to shift. And now what you see is China becoming the manufacturing powerhouse of the world. But with that are coming a lot of problems. And I don't necessarily fault the Chinese people with this situation. What I do fault is companies who have decided to cut costs and move production to foreign countries just to save a buck, but who may not have the quality control features in place to make sure that the materials utilized to make the products are indeed safe. And yes, even though companies feel they're saving money, they don't want to pay union wages and things like that, so they're moving overseas, but what you're seeing now is the ramification of what's going on. A lot of toys and products have been recalled from China because of lead, because of these aquadots that metabolize into the date rape drug. It just kind of smacks of a lack of quality control. And I think as more and more countries perhaps manufacture overseas, they're going to have to make sure that they have people there who can make sure that the quality is good. Because otherwise, you're faced with what you're faced with now. Companies like Mattel and other toy companies having to recall millions of toys right before Christmas and the holiday season because of bad manufacturing or unsafe products used in the manufacturing. So in any event, I think that is something that we're all going to have to be more aware of, because when you pick up products in the grocery store, you don't know where they're coming from. I bought some fish the other day, and it was labeled product of Ecuador. Who would have thought that? But it just shows you how global we are and how much we are interdependent and how much a manufacturing issue overseas can impact us here, right here in our own country. So I think before our corporations keep selling our products down the river and looking for cheap ways to do things and to cut costs, I think at some point down the road that's going to change, because they're going to realize it's not going to be worth recalling millions of products and having your image tarnished just to save a few bucks. But on the other hand, you also want to see other countries rise up and become players in the world market. And so I think, you know, it's going to be a delicate balance that has to be worked out. But in any event, I think I've talked enough, but there was a lot to talk about tonight. In any event, thanks for listening. We will move on to Digital Sister number 70 next week. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you so much for continuing to pass the podcast around. I'm very excited about that. Oh, one more thing. I'm going to be teaching a marketing class in Cleveland at Case Western Reserve University on Friday, November 16th. So Digital Sista continues to expand. In any event, thanks for listening. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution is on radio. Digital Sista signing out. I'm